Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Ender fighting hard, 1-2 the count. Swing and a drive. That ball's hammered toward the line. It's not coming back. A line drive homer for Ender Inciarte. Now Camargo shoots one to right. Harper back as far as he can go. That one's going to sail out of here. Back-to-back homers. And that's how you snap an 0-for-16.
Chip Carey at Fox Sports South last night. Braves had a chance. Boy, they down 6-0 to Aaron Nola. They get 4 runs in the 7th. They put 2 more men on, have the lead run at the plate in Freddie Freeman, and couldn't quite get over the hump against the Philadelphia Phillies in the final game of a weekend set. Welcome on a Monday morning live to Flowery Branch, our last day of covering the Atlanta Falcons training camp. Last day the Falcons will be in Flowery Branch. Hugh Douglas, it is game week for the Atlanta Falcons. It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a great weekend. I hope everybody that came out here to Atlanta's Falcons training camp this weekend had a great time. And, yeah, it's about that time, people. This is it. After the Falcons play, we have no more weekends without football for a long time.
Yeah, next time we have a weekend without NFL football or college football won't be till mid-February after the Pro Bowl. So, yeah, football season really here. The Falcons getting ready to play again, practice today, and then they start gearing up and loading up, and they'll be in Canton, Ohio by tomorrow and certainly by Wednesday morning and getting ready for the game Thursday night against the Denver Broncos that you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So a lot to get into, including early this morning as we break in on this Monday morning at just after 6 a.m., the head coach of the Falcons, Dan Quinn, who will join us up here on our set in the next, within the hour. So that's what we're expecting, that before the top of the hour, that Dan Quinn will be here somewhere around 6:40. That's the anticipation of talking to Coach Quinn on game week. So, again, we'll get into all the Falcons stuff, the Braves, just to kind of cap off what we just played at the beginning of the show. Good weekend for the Braves, Hugh. I mean, they go to Philadelphia, take 2 out of 3, get a little bit of help from the Dodgers, expand their lead by a game, headed to D.C. today.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. I know me and A were talking about that in the bullpen last week. We were talking about how, you know, if you can get the Nationals are playing the Dodgers, and if you can get some help there, and if you can win this series against the Phillies and then go down there against the Nationals and take care of business, that you got a chance. And they did that. The one first leg of the trip, they took care of the business against the Phillies, took 2 out of 3, and you can't ask anything more than that.
No, you can't. I mean, they went in there and increased their lead, and so a really good start. Now a critical 3-game set in D.C. that starts tonight. Good pitching matchup for the Braves this evening as they send Dallas Keuchel to the mound against Patrick Corbin to open this series. If they can just get 1 of the 3 in Washington, that's a 500 road trip. If they get 2 of the 3 in Washington, they're going to come home having expanded their lead over the Nationals by a couple of games, and that's going to be a wonderful thing. A lot to get into. Mentioned a lot of headlines, a big headline in baseball yesterday, Hugh. Here we go. There's a lot of anticipation on this Monday morning. The deadline is 4 o'clock Wednesday. There's a lot of anticipation that what happened, you know, one deal will start the wheels going. And late yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jays traded Marcus Stroman, but not to any team that we anticipated. He didn't go to a contender. He went to a non-contender.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. The Mets gave up Anthony Kay and Simeon Woods, the 4th and 6th ranked prospects they have in their farm system. And that was just kind of surprising. I mean, you talk about they're 4th in the East right now. And for them to make that move, for them to be the first team to make that move, that was kind of surprising. But they might be making that move so that they could, you know, try to potentially make some more moves and you know, get some good arms so that they know teams will need some arms, that they're going to go out and try to, you know, fleece somebody.
Right. That's the thought now is that Stroman was traded, that the Mets went out, and as you said, you know, gave up 2 highly rated prospects to the Blue Jays, so the Blue Jays get something that they want. And in exchange, what the Mets will do now is trade Thor. I mean, that today, Noah Syndergaard could find himself on another team, and we'll see. And again, we'll see if the Braves make a move. The time is wasted, and you only have, well, how many? I guess we can talk about in terms of hours, 48 and 10, 57 hours and change here. And this year, Hugh, that deadline is different because you have to have things done. As Alex Anthopoulos was talking about the other day on the baseball broadcast, you have to be done by 4 o'clock. If you're not entirely done by 4 o'clock, the trade's null and void.
Yeah, you got to have everything buttoned up, and that's different. So that means that when you go into the playoffs, if you make it to the playoffs, you got to go with what got you there at that point. So they want to make sure that this trade deadline, that nobody has any trades lingering, anything like that. What you got is what you got.
Well, we'll get more into the Braves coming up in a few minutes. And again, Dan Quinn live in this hour as we talk to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons on what is a Falcons Monday at Flowery Branch. If you're headed out here, this is the final day of open training camp for fans, and for that matter for us, at Flowery Branch this year. Today is it. If you don't make it out today, you can't come to Flowery Branch. The only option you will have will be this coming Sunday with the Salute to Veterans practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That is a noon practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you'll be hearing more about that throughout the week. That'll be the final open practice for the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, so they'll have a game and then one more open practice on Sunday. But all things pointed to Thursday night. The Falcons released their depth chart yesterday for the game, and some of the kind of surprises on the depth chart, well, not surprises, but some of the guidance, I would say, that we got on the depth chart. You have Chris Lindstrom, the number one pick out of Boston College, listed as a starter at right guard. Caleb McGarry not listed as a starter at right tackle. That, at the moment, is Ty Sambrello, the veteran.
Yeah, we kind of figured that would be the case. I think that was kind of the thinking all along, that would not be the case. So, yeah, it's kind of playing out like we thought it would.
And then you have James Carpenter ahead of Jamon Brown listed on the depth chart. But again, this is an initial depth chart for the first preseason game, and we're going to see how things progress as we go along. Another interesting thing that came out of the depth chart, Hugh, is that the defense wasn't a 3-4. It wasn't a 4-3. The defense was listed at the initial depth chart as a 5-2. They came out with two linebackers and three defensive ends with Vic, Tack, and Alan Bailey. So kind of an interesting little change, interesting little wrinkle from Dan Quinn, a 5-2-4 depth chart. Now, whether he's going to go to that kind of a defense or not, does that tell you that he's thinking of making those ends hybrid guys, kind of outside linebackers, in and out?
I think that's what they were probably showing a little bit when they were showing us in training camp, John. I think that might be the case. They did a lot of standing up. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that they're standing up a lot. So maybe that's the case. It's kind of hard to say at this point, but it's going to be interesting to see how they play. The messed up part about this first preseason game is that we're not going to get a chance to see them play as much as we would like to.
Right, because, you know, the starters are only going to get a few snaps here and there. Now, that may not be the case with certain players, like, you know, certainly Chris Lindstrom is going to get, a bunch of work, you would think, in game one. But, and the Falcons don't have that. You know, one of the luxuries the Falcons have, Hugh, is that, you know, knock on this table, given everything else, is the Falcons don't have a whole lot of open roster spots, at least as we view it. Maybe they have 4, 5, 6, and then a few more on the practice squad. So maybe there's 7 or 8 or 9, but that's about it off the practice squad to for this team.
That's a good thing. That is a good thing, and that means that you have some guys that you're counting on. But I think that there's going to be some, you know, there's opportunities there, especially on that defensive side of the ball, to work into the rotation. And if you work extremely well, there's a chance that you might get starter reps. You know, I mean, because I don't think, like, with Coach Quinn, yeah, you know, you have your guys slated as starters. Like, you know, you look at Grady Jarrett, and he's definitely a starter. Vic Beasley would be a starter. But you got guys behind them that could get a lot of time if they go out there and they're handling their business.
All right, of course, the Falcons had an interesting scrimmage leading up to the Broncos game. They played the first half yesterday of the scrimmage. They're going to play the second half today of that scrimmage. So fans coming out here are going to get an extra special treat. In the first half of the scrimmage, people on Twitter, funny. Matt Ryan threw two picks in his first two possessions. Yes, he did. He was picked off by Dez Trufant, which I guess, if you're thinking about it, is a pretty good thing, right? I mean, Dez actually made an interception. It's like one thing he didn't do all of last year, and he did it in the first half of the first scrimmage. And Rico Allen made a pick. That's also pretty good news, considering that, you know, the rehab that Rico's going through. the scrimmage itself doesn't mean anything. It's just that they're kind of working through some of the game scenarios as they get ready for the game against the Broncos. But if you're headed out here today, you're going to get the second half of an 11-on-11 scrimmage, and so a little bit of a bonus if you're going to be able to be at practice today.
I don't understand why people get so excited. I mean, I think when you look at football, and it has been told to you, and it's something that's known by most folks that watch the game, defense always comes in ahead of the offense, always. And you're going to always see plays like that. I remember Coach Shanahan's first year here. Matt threw a pick to him, and everybody was like, oh, everybody was clutching their pearls. Oh, my gosh, Matt threw a pick. Orrin the Sigma just told me he threw it to Knox. And everybody was clutching their pearls. Oh, my gosh, what does this mean? He threw a pick to somebody that wasn't even on the field. He's horrible. Dude, went to the Super Bowl, man. So, I mean, I know it's people all up in the feelings about football season starting and everything, but, man, just calm down. Just calm down. It's going to be okay. They're supposed to be. The defense is supposed to be ahead of the offense right now. Supposed to be.
Well, we certainly have a fun week ahead with the Falcons playing this week. For the first time this year, we can sit here and talk about Falcons Monday. We can talk about the NFL. It is an NFL week with the Falcons kicking it off in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. And if we get ready for it, it's going to be a loaded show. Again, in this hour, about a half an hour from now, head coach Dan Quinn will be on set talking to us live ahead of the game on Thursday against the Denver Broncos. We'll get his thoughts on the team, and that'll be in about a half an hour. When we get back in a moment, we'll kind of look ahead to what the Braves face in D.C. against the Washington Nationals as we head towards August and the dog days of the playoff chase, the pennant chase, in the NL East. We're broadcasting live this morning. Gates open at 8:30. Practice begins at 9:30. Final open practice of the 2019 AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp here in Flowery Branch. As we continue with John and Hugh on the morning show on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, we're coming off a rough two games at home, and we won the series. That's what we came in here to do, win the series. We wanted to win today, obviously, and sweep the series. But, you know, at the worst, we came out with a series win. So, we got another tough series coming up tomorrow.
High fly ball hooked toward left field. That ball's carrying, and Adam Duvall has hit a home run. Welcome back to the show, Adam Duvall.
In his first game back up with the big club, Adam Duvall homers over the weekend, part of the Braves 2-1 series win over the Philadelphia Phillies. And welcome back to Flowery Branch, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John Frick and Hugh Douglas on this Monday morning. As you head into work, Atlanta Braves get set for another showdown with the Washington Nationals beginning tonight. And the Braves' vaunted depth is going to be tested now because of the fact that, Hugh, just as you get those pitchers healthy, just as you get Gausman and Freed and Newcomb back, do you turn around and the position players start getting dinged up? You lose Nick Markakis for maybe the rest of the year. Dansby Swanson on the 10-day IL, and now today we don't know about the status. It doesn't sound like it's going to be anything long-term, but at least the status tonight of Ronald Acuna being able to play in this game.
Well, yeah, the good thing about it was I watched a little bit of the post-game after that, and he said that he didn't feel bad. He said when he was in the moment that it felt a little stiff. He said, but now reflecting back on it, that he feels a little bit better. So hopefully that's the case. You know what the weird thing about it is? When I saw that, and I didn't think it was that big of a collision. I mean, but then again, I'm looking at it from a football player's perspective, not thinking that, this guy, like, that's not nothing that they're used to doing. But I couldn't help but think, I'm like, man, that wasn't that egregious. That wasn't that bad. But I had to keep remembering that it's kind of different in baseball, and they're not used to that kind of contact.
And the good news for the Braves is that there was, because Jeff Francoeur immediately said of the broadcast, he said, oh, I hope it's not a collarbone. I'm like, Jeff, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was kind of morbid. But, I mean, I get it. Because, you're talking about a team that is definitely going to be in the hunt towards the end. And to see something like that happen, you don't want to be morbid, but, I mean, you automatically think of the worst. You shouldn't, but you automatically think of the worst.
Yeah, so hopefully the Braves dodge a bullet here, whether Acuna can go tonight. And it was pointed out by the broadcast about the depth when they took the shot at the top of the next inning. And here it was, a critical game against the Philadelphia Phillies. And because of injuries and because Austin Riley has been slumping and because, Acuna suddenly dinged up and Markakis is out, that they show it shot here at the outfield, and it's Adam Duvall in left and Ender Inciarte in center and Charlie Culberson in right and Johan Camargo at short. And suddenly that depth of the Braves comes into play, and it may be called upon greatly here with this series ahead.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's going to be. But that's the great part about it. Because you're talking about some guys that don't play every day, like Charlie Culberson, Johan Camargo. Like, the good thing about it is that you have some guys you're going to piecemeal it out there in the outfield. So you have some guys if potentially Ronald Acuna Jr. can't go. So, you want your guys out there, but it's good to have guys that can come in and get it done for you if need be.
Well, Duvall makes a big splash. He had a huge year in Gwinnett. And was when the Braves picked him up last year, a gold glove outfielder with power. And so, they're either showcasing him right now ahead of the Wednesday deadline, or they're starting to think that maybe there's something wrong with Austin Riley that we don't know about. Because right now you're playing Adam Duvall. Suddenly you're playing this guy, which is fine. I mean, he's a good player. But Austin Riley, who was so key to you, in terms of that incredible 60-game run you went on, he's just a non-factor.
I mean, it looks like right now, John, he's having trouble hitting high heat. I mean, and that's what, reading some of the stories that I read, that's basically about it. For a long time, it took pitchers a long time to try to figure him out. It seemed like they have figured him out already. They figured him out now. And now it's up to him to figure out and get back to what he once was. That's one of the reasons why I don't think they're trying to send him down anytime soon, because they know that he's a good hitter and that he could be a factor once again once he figures it out.
Well, one of the things we don't know about the Washington Nationals in this series, it doesn't look like Max Scherzer is going to go again. It looks like Scherzer's still dealing with this back issue, so he may not be going again. We don't even know if Steven Strasburg is going to pitch in this series at this point. You have Patrick Corbin going for the Nationals tonight. There is a question mark for tomorrow, and the listed starter for Game 3 is Anibal Sanchez. So the Braves may avoid both the top two starters of the Washington Nationals, and they'll be throwing Dallas Keuchel and Julio Teheran and Mike Soroka at D.C. So here's an opportunity, Hugh. You're right in front of you. You're going to Washington. You have an opportunity here to put more distance between yourself and the Washington Nationals. The question is, are you able to take advantage of that opportunity? One of the good things, even with the loss yesterday that we saw over the weekend in Philadelphia, is that the Braves bats came alive, and they're back. I mean, they were booming on Friday and Saturday, and almost boomed enough to sweep the series after being down 6-0 to Aaron Nola.
Yeah, it was a tough one yesterday, no question about that. And it was a tale of two Aaron Nolas, because at first he looked unhittable, and then you got to him a little bit, but it wasn't enough. It was just not – wasn't enough. But on the flip side of that, John Frickie, you got 2 out of 3. I mean, and that's all you can hope for. And on the second leg of this one, if you get 2 more, that's even more wonderful. And that's how you're looking at it.
Yeah, you are absolutely thinking you can get 2 out of 3 against Washington. This becomes a huge way to kind of kickstart the run to August. And with time wasting, the more you can just keep even if you just – one of the great things about this now, and we talked about the schedule coming up. Yes, the Dodgers are looming in a couple of weeks. But it's really that early September run. On September the 5th starts a 14-game stretch against Philadelphia and Washington. With both teams, 14 straight games against those two teams, 7 against each, home and road. And one of the good things about that is if you could just keep them at bay, time becomes kind of your ally. The fact is when you take 2 out of 3 with Philadelphia, that's not only just a series loss, Hugh, that's a big series loss because, again, time slips away and slips away. And when time slips away like that, you just you can't make it up. You just, how do you make it up if you're Philadelphia? So we'll see what they're, planning to do in terms of this. They had to have that game yesterday. If they had the Braves had swept them yesterday, who knows what you're doing with the Philadelphia Phillies at this point.
Yeah, and then I started hearing spatterings of boos out there when they were out there playing yesterday. Hey, real quick, I want to give a shout-out to Dr. K. Sanders. He took his family to the game yesterday. Well, not yesterday. I think it was Saturday. He went to the one Saturday. It was like one of those like impromptu trips that he had with his family. Went to go see the Braves play and had a great time, man. Sent me some pictures of his kids. Just so happened, John, that they stayed in the same hotel as the Braves. So they got a chance to take some pictures with some of the Braves players. Took a picture with Brian Snicker. So I just want to give a shout-out to Dr. Sanders, man. And he was hitting me up asking me where he could go in Philadelphia to get something to eat. So they had a great time. And from what he was telling me on his Twitter feed, no incident. It went without incident. So it's not always bad in Philadelphia. Not all the time. Plus, I told him to drop my name a couple times if he needed any drama. But, yeah, it worked out pretty good for him. So, shout out to Dr. Sanders, him and his family, for having a great time in Philadelphia this weekend.
I never had any – I've been to Philadelphia many times. I never had any trouble. You know, I say, you know, great, because especially all the, you know, all the touristy areas, you know, there's so many tourists that come in to go to Liberty Square and the Franklin Home and whatnot. And everybody's got to – when you go to Philadelphia, everybody's got to run up the rocky steps. I mean, it's just one of those things, right? Everybody runs up to the top of the steps. Well, it's not easy to run up top of those steps. There's a lot of steps. You can walk them up.
Well, he was at the Braves game. He went to
right.
Go see
no,
the Braves.
I'm just talking about Philadelphia at large.
Yeah.
You know, Philadelphia is a fun time to go to. Broadcasting live from Flowery Branch ahead of the Falcons and Broncos. We're expecting head coach Dan Quinn to join us in just a few minutes live on set. And we'll talk about the Falcons, who released their depth chart. We'll be talking to him about what he's seen so far in practice and some of the battles that we expect ahead of Thursday night's game, the preseason opener, the Hall of Fame game against the Denver Broncos, and, of course, the big event coming up next Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the open practice and the salute to veterans. You can get tickets for that event, by the way, on Ticketmaster. Everything's just $5. So if you've never been to the stadium, this is a perfect time to go. $5 to get in, and all that money, proceeds of all of that, goes to the Veterans Fund, so Veterans Memorial Fund. So really cool stuff for the Atlanta Falcons ahead. I know that you had tweeted this out last night, and I saw this, and you were talking about it earlier this morning. This story, just off over here for a second, if you'll allow us. I don't know if you saw the story last night, but Fortnite guy wins $3 million to play Fortnite.
Yeah, he did. It was awesome to have a young man win that kind of money playing Fortnite.
Fortnite. Where was I, Hugh, that you could win $3 million playing Fortnite?
I guess you got to get your Fortnite game up, John Freaky. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
Going to mess up some parents, though, going, hey, you got to start playing Fortnite?
I would think so. I mean, you know, when you're talking about, you know, parents and kids playing video games, for them to win $3 million and put themselves away a nice little nest egg, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
You know, I mean, I grew up playing pinball. There was no money in it. And then, you know, kind of like, you know, the Pac-Man games and stuff like that. I mean, now they have these tournaments where they make this kind of money. Is it really going to go to that kind of cash?
It's already been that kind of cash, John Freaky. It's been like that for a while. I mean, and if you're one of the parents of the kids that actually play Fortnite, this little boy named Booger won $3 million, and that's not even the bad thing about it, John. Like the fifth place winner won $900,000
for fifth place.
Yeah, for fifth place. So they gave out some nice little cheese. They gave out some nice little cheese for the Fortnite stuff.
Man.
They really did.
You know, you think about golf tournaments, right? Or tennis tournaments, or stuff that pays a lot of money. To play video. Hey, listen, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just thinking that, you know, now every 16-year-old in the world is reading this story going home. See, Mom? See, I'm justified here, you know?
Yeah, basically. That's basically what it is. I mean, and they were talking about the way that he played. He scored 9 eliminations and finished the round with Darren Shockwave. I don't know what it is. I don't play Fortnite. But they were talking about how his aggressive play was really what put him in front of everybody to actually win the tournament.
Unbelievable. Man, I tell you what, if you got kids today, be prepared for that. Hey, Dad, can I be a professional Fortnite player? This dude's 16 years old. He just won $3 million. $900,000 for fifth place. Wow. Head coach Dan Quinn floating around here. We'll see if we can grab him, bring him to you, and talk about the Atlanta Falcons ahead of the game on Thursday on your home of the Falcons. Live from Flowery Branch, 2019 AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92 in the game.
I told you a while ago, it's the two truths, the ones you like and the ones that you don't like to hear. So it's perfect. One team thought they were feeling pretty good. The other one, they'll get their ass kicked a little bit. And you come back out and you go play the second half. It's all the things that I hoped it would be as the coach.
Live coverage from Flowery Branch of 2019 Atlanta Falcons AT&T training camp. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Up on set with us now, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn. Morning to you, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here with you on the set, up at training camp. So, man, it's good to have football back and be up and rocking. I've been waiting for this moment and seeing all the guys, all the different roles that could potentially happen for them, you know, over the first, you know, 4 or 5 days of training camp, where they're at, what we've seen from them. And that, to me, is a big piece, because as the pads went on, then more of the real football began, especially for the big guys. And we'll get another piece of that coming Thursday night.
So, Coach, we're looking at this depth chart, and John Frickie brought it to my attention this morning. Well, look at you got three defensive ends listed as starters.
Right.
Is this some new defense you're planning on running this year?
Yeah, we're going to be more rotational in terms of who would be some outside people who could drop and go. So as opposed to identifying, okay, this person just as the Sam backer or he's as the rusher, we've got some real versatility of how, you know, we want to go about it. So as a in your old days, some of your 34 stuff where you could be rushers, you could be droppers, all of those players will have different responsibilities. So in this day and age, you know, it's way more of nickel, and you could probably call that your new starting lineup.
You start your base, like kind of like your base defense, but your base defense happens to be a nickel defense.
Yeah, we all have to – we're still holding on to the other space, so like maybe in the future it goes, okay, this is your starting lineup is nickel, and it's just how it goes. You know?
Or dime anymore.
Yeah, and on the offense, it's three wide receivers. So,
right.
Because that's the primary personnel group that defenses play on, mm-hmm. in the 32 teams. And the three wides, one tight end, one back, that's the primary. That's the most prevalent.
Speaking of that, Coach, like, oh, I've noticed over the years since you brought it up, like, there's no, like, really when you look at all defenses that are being played, there's really no real 4-3. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they play a 3-4.
Right.
But when you look at other teams, it's like a combination of both. And you're running the guys in and out, and they're lining up in that 3-4, 4-3 look, like, all the time.
Right. And even, like, a team, like, in your mind, the old Pittsburgh one, like, they probably do that 30-35% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part is them in a form of nickel. So what I think a fan or somebody could misunderstand is just because you align in an odd spacing doesn't mean you have always two outside linebackers, two, you know, people aligned over the defensive end, and always a nose tackle. So just because a person aligns head up doesn't mean it's true 34. Sometimes odd spacing, as a coach would call it, would just be, hey, they're going to be putting people in different spaces. Oftentimes defensive linemen align on one side or another, like, you know, a shade of a guard or a tackle, and that's their gaps. Other times we align guys head up, sometimes to slant, sometimes just that's a different look. So versatility is the key this time of year, Hugh, because offenses are that way. You know, there are more checks at the line, more things to go. So you better not just stay in one thing and have them get to a play that they like. The days of here came the call from the sideline and we're going to run this play no matter what. Not as often as it used to be. There's more time to change it.
Yeah.
Falcon sorry, long-winded.
No, it's all right. You're good. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and Hugh. Well, I think you'll be happy to know, Coach, that was we talked to a lot of – Hugh and I talked to a lot of the defensive players out here. They say really good things about their new coordinator, which, of course, not a bad thing, I wouldn't imagine. How does it feel now that you've got a few days back at being hands-on again on that defense?
Well, I told them that, you know, the things I'm looking for the most are when you're – and as a player – nobody can push one another like a player can. There's no coach that can push a player like another teammate can. And so where are they at with their conditioning? Only they really know. There's going to be some times, man, that, you know, where I'm trying to gasp for breath here. That's what you need as a player. Like, get familiar with that kind of pain because you can't simulate that in the training for a 6 or 8 play drive. The communication and knowing your assignment so well, it's way different, not off the call sheet or a script. Hey, this is going to be the next play, but coaches off the field. And so on the field, that's the players talking to one another. That communication, you've heard me use the term, make the calls come to life. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to keep striving to improve to see where we can get to. So we've got a lot of work to do, you know, over the next month to increase some of those things so we can play at our best.
So, Coach, is it safe to say since you are more hands-on with the defense this year that this defense is going to evolve and change as the season goes and as it needs to change?
I would say that's true because certain games have certain needs, you know, based mm-hmm. on matchups of players and maybe a team's strengths, a player's strengths to say, okay, in this game, we've got to make sure that this player offensively, you know, doesn't ruin the game because he has unique stuff to play. So that's what training camp is also for, Hugh, to make sure you have some of those specialty calls, even though you wouldn't feature that in the season, in the preseason.
But you got to get them out there for people to be familiar with it so when you do call it,
that's right.
It's not nothing that's foreign to them.
I'd rather not go in the season. Hey, here's a new call we just made up because then you don't know all the ramifications. What about this formation? What if they have no backs in the backfield? So you try to go through as many of those now, get the kinks out, take a look at some things. And that's good also going against other teams because what are some of the issues that that are coming up. Let's look at those two.
Well, Coach Quinn, time goes fast. It's game week suddenly. I mean, you got a game on Thursday night in Ohio against the Denver Broncos. What are you looking for out of this first preseason game?
Well, it's a huge advantage because we get all these looks at players who've never played a snap in the NFL. So for those, you know, 25 players, that's to me what this game is for, because you get to feature that group and maybe even some guys who are on our developmental list now, another five or seven who finished the practice squad. So when you think about it, this game to me is dedicated to those 30. They should play the most. They should get the extra looks, because having an extra day and an extra game, what a time to take advantage of who needs the most, the players who've not played in NFL games. So let's get the biggest and longest look at them. There'll be some guys that will surprise us, and you know, say, where did he? Okay, we saw him at practice. He was doing some things. So it'll totally reveal the truth of where we're at. And those 30 players, that's who this game is dedicated to. And we're very much looking forward to seeing them.
I got to tell you, Coach, like sitting here talking to you and talking to you in the past, you've always been upbeat and enthusiastic. But right now, when you're coaching the defense, you feel like you're really at home. Like, you feel like you are truly in your wheelhouse, and this is where you want to be, and you cannot wait to show the people what this defense is going to look like.
Well, I've always enjoyed the connection with the players. And so as a head coach, sometimes you don't get as much of that. And so now I'm probably getting a little bit more hands-on, where you have the daily interaction with the guys. Like, that's, let's face it, as coaches, that's why you get into it, you know, the not just the love of the game, but the teaching, the relationships with the players. And so getting a chance to do that at a little bit of a higher level, that means a lot. And I still have the same connection. You know, last night, I'm, you know, a good bit of the time with the offense, talking through some of the game management stuff, but having some daily interaction more, you know, in meeting rooms with some of the defensive guys has been fun.
Coach, you've been in the weight room working out with the guys too? Because, like, you've been pumping a
no,
little bit.
No, definitely not. I would not subject myself to that one bit. No chance of that, especially with guys like Alan Bailey around. No chance.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn joining John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm just going to speak for kind of collectively the media, because it's something that we in the media have been talking about over the last week here since camp began. There's a general sense among the media just talking to each other. This, I'm interested to see if this is true for you, that there hasn't been this much buzz about camp, maybe just internally from the media, from the fans that we see, and from what we see on the field, since maybe 2016, 2017. There's more of a buzz this year.
Well, I would say coming into the 2016 season, yeah, there's always buzz because of the anticipation for it. But that same buzz didn't look so good when we lost our first game at home. And so I've reminded a lot of people, okay, 0-1, and oh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen, and we ended up being pretty good. So let's make sure every chance we go, we're looking to improve. And so as a coach, that's what I'm looking to get to. The fans are right, man. There should be a tingle about it because of the way this team is starting to connect. And now when you do that, that's probably, you know, like half the teams can get to that space. And then how do you get where you're up in the top 10 of it? The execution of it, the calls, you know, then how do you get up to the next spot? When you're up at past the top 10, as you're getting towards the end of the regular season, all the big plays that have to be made under the biggest light. So lots of work to be done, guys. And but the fans should be optimistic, because I want them to know how connected this team is starting to become.
Well, Rico makes an interception in the scrimmage yesterday. I mean, setting that aside, the question is, Rico, Keanu, are you seeing enough that you're comfortable they're ready to go?
Yeah, and one thing that you do when you come back from an injury, and for, you know, all the listeners or an athlete who's been injured, do you trust it? And then once you do, then the trust, you know, the confidence starts to build. But until you get into some of those moments where you take your shot or you go, then it's kind of like a freeing to say, all right, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be okay. And so for him, having the ability to break and not think about, can I make this? Can I go take my shot? That's a good thing. So more trust builds more confidence. And those two guys specifically are building that confidence. And so the jitters for the first one back out with the team, okay, that it keeps ramping up. And so they're not full yet, but their reps are close to that. We've been real specific, two plays, then into four plays, then into six. Now they're up at 12 or 14 for a practice. So we're going to take great care of them. But their confidence is building because they really trust it. They put the work in. So, like, you have to trust it. But as a player, you got to be in that environment to trust it.
Dan Quinn joining us here. Again, back to Thursday's game. What are you looking for? You talked about the 30 young players. Additionally to that, are you looking at how the offensive line sinks and how what you're looking at? Let's say just staying in the trenches on both sides. What are you looking at from the defensive line and combinations and the offensive line and how it kind of starts to sink together?
I would say that's a part of it, but at the end of it, I want to make sure, you know, what is their what we would call their CT score? What does their competes look like? What is the urgency to play? What is now the toughness look like? Where are we at tackling? So when it's such a huge advantage to have this game, so we want to make sure those players, you get more quarters. Can you imagine having four more quarters as a rookie to say, that's really important. You may only get two seasons. Or less. Now you get more, and is there time to put some shine on to say, I can do this? But I'm looking for communication. I'm looking for really fundamentals, John.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, Coach, you know, you go play this game on Thursday. That doesn't mean it's the end of camp. It just means that you have more because we have that cool event coming up Sunday
right
at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that you started last year. Huge crowd, and you're expecting it again this year.
Yeah, for us and for the fans, think of this as like a break in camp, okay?
Went to camp,
then as opposed to having off, we're going to go up to Ohio, play a game, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going back into training camp mode, back into installs, back to go, and then having a chance to go down to the stadium on military day, on our military, having the fans come down there. That's an awesome day. And so we were here bringing the military, and now it got bigger than we can handle here. And so we wanted to make sure we could come down to the stadium and let some people see inside where they don't normally see it. And you can imagine when all of us went for the first time walking out of the stadium, like, can you believe this place? You know, like,
yeah.
They need to feel that. The pictures don't do it justice. So think of it again. We're going up there, and then when we come back, we are still, John, in training camp mode. We're going back to the grind, going back to see where we can get better and closer. I'm not backing off that one bit.
I tell you what I'm looking forward to, Coach. I'm looking forward to Chris Lindstrom giving out some pancakes on Thursday night. Will we get a chance to see him quite a bit, or since he's running with the first team, he's not going to be out there that much?
Yeah, we definitely need to see him play. And so,
ooh, I'm happy to see that. I want to see if he's going to give out some pancakes.
Yeah, he would be a guy you'd like to battle against. He brings it. And,
I don't know, Coach. He's a big dude now. He's a big dude. Not saying that I'm scared of anything. I'm just a little bit older. You know, he might put hands on me.
Well, he would do that, but you still got a little thickness to you, too. So, but, true to Ohio, we're not going to stop over at Central State or anything, but talk about their team.
Yeah, that's kind of like way out the way, Coach. That's like way down in Ohio
somewhere. I know they're still doing well.
Yeah, they're doing extremely well, like horribly.
Thank you, Coach. Do appreciate it.
Awesome.
Hey, Coach Dan Quinn joining us here at Flowery Branch as our coverage of 2019 Atlanta Falcons training camp continues on a Falcons Monday out game week on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I don't know. I could have took even my hate.
I enjoyed the connection with the players. And so as a head coach, sometimes you don't get as much of that. And so now I'm probably getting a little bit more hands-on. Where you have the daily interaction with the guys, like that's, let's face it, as coaches, that's why you get into it, you know, not just the love of the game, but the teaching, the relationships with the players. And so getting a chance to do that at a little bit of a higher level, that means a lot.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from the Game Time Traffic Center. This update sponsored by Walmart. Still working on 20 headed.